Hey guys, this is Cole Liker.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
This is Jochen Graf.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Won't get a bounce, Dennis, three in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Everyone, and thank you for joining us tonight. You are listening to the Unused Substitute Show. We are your green and gold gospel, your one-stop shop for everything Tampa Bay Rowdies. We are live on Radio St. Pete Online and part of the Beautiful Game Network, presented in part by Roughneck Scarves. My name is Stephen Cundiff. I am joined tonight, as I was joined a couple nights ago, by Matthew Cox.
You mean we didn't do that like live this morning?
Absolutely, 100%. It was live this morning. The sun was shining and it was glorious.
Do you think two episodes of us in one day is too much?
Yes, but I also believe it's a necessary sacrifice for the greater good.
Plus, we also programmed this wisely. We got actual informative, useful information in the first show, and then we just got the regular crap we're going to do tonight.
True. I believe that wholeheartedly. We want to thank tonight our Patreon executive producer is Adam Barton. Adam, thank you for being a faithful listener and a faithful supporter of the show. Today, I believe you're marking, if I was reading the Facebook notifications, I think today's a 6-year anniversary of you moving away to North Carolina, which that's 6 years of pain. That's a lot of pain.
It is. I actually got to go hang with Adam, I guess 2 years ago now, when I went to the Charlotte road trip and met up with him, and we hung out for that one. And there's some discussions underway about possibly redoing that trip this summer. It looks like the first Charlotte game, first Rowdies in Charlotte game is like my first weekend of summer vacation coming up pretty quickly, so might be making that trip now that I got two shots in me.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm gonna do Charlotte. I love you, Adam, but I don't know if I'm doing Charlotte.
I want to go see the new stadium. I like the area of town that it's in. I kind of know that area. So I'm there.
We'll see. I mean, I'm still more excited about Charleston, you know, just getting a chance to go and see those guys again and, you know, hanging out at a new stadium there too, for that matter.
I've never actually done Charleston.
You're such an embarrassment to the fan base, man.
No. It's okay. Look, at least I have pants on this time, okay?
This is true. This is true. We all are wearing pants.
You can't take our word for it, though, because we're not releasing the video.
I mean, we're already one of those situations where we have faces for radio. So let's be real. Let's be real.
And you know, we with the upgrade in Uber conference, it does now record the video. Also, we could put these video clips out.
Don't put that thought out there. I mean, we're going to probably do it eventually, but just we don't need to dwell on that at the moment.
Dan, I used to post this stuff to YouTube.
Yeah, I'm considering that we should do that. I think we should, honestly.
But so we the way, and now that it does record the video, we could probably do it a lot easier, but we used to do this through like, what was it? Whatever Google called their video stuff before it was Google Meet. It was like Google Chat. I forget what it was, but Google Hangouts. That's what it was. And it integrated directly in there. So we could actually like go live on YouTube if we wanted, but now they're shutting that part down, I believe. I got to do some investigating. Summer's coming up, and that's when I start looking into all the different things to mess around with.
Yeah, that would have been cool to do if we already had that lined up, we could have had the video of our interview with Brian Ald actually go out. I mean, technically speaking.
I did record that video.
We did record the video, so we have him there.
Yeah.
Well, if you are tired of us rambling about podcast stuff and you want us to get on with the game and get on with the show, please, by all means, you can send us a Facebook message, of course, at our Facebook page and Twitter at Unused Subs Pod, or one of us directly at _S_Cundiff and at @unsub_Matt. We've had a busy week this week. The Tampa Bay Rowdies did an entire, duplicate game, basically, of another 3-0 victory against Pittsburgh. And we did a little interview on this week that just posted this morning. We're on a roll, my friend.
Yeah, not too shabby. Not too shabby.
I mean, I think that that's basically a 2-0 week, and that matches the Tampa Bay Rowdies record. So I think it's pretty good right now.
I mean, if I had to consider the interview on a whole, I'd say we won the interview 3-0. Yes. I think you and I should be included on the USL podcast team of the week. I think we did pretty good. Thanks to the team for setting it up. This may have been part of the transfer fee for taking Jake from us. Thanks to Jake for getting it all set up. We had to coordinate lots of different times between the three of us to get it nailed down. And especially thanks to Brian for coming on and answering all the questions as much as he could. We were told that some of the topics they even checked with USL first before, so they could make sure they were allowed to answer some of the stuff. So I appreciate them putting the time and effort into it. That was good. Like, Brian's cool. I enjoyed that. There's still so much they don't know, because it's not a top down kind of, none of these things are top down decisions where they're just going to make a decision and go with it. It involves working with the city, with the council, with community members, with the fan base, like Brian mentioned a couple times. But he definitely, I think, gave us their vision, what their preferences are, whether or not, like you said, with the stadium, cost wise, it makes the most financial sense for them to have a shared stadium situation, but that might not be the best situation in terms of fan experience, in terms of, just the teams cohabitating in a building like that. Just because it makes the most financial sense doesn't necessarily mean that's the number one thing they're going to do. I felt he was pretty open and honest with the answers, and I appreciated that.
Yeah, we'll talk on this a bit here in a minute later on in the show. But yeah, definitely, if you have not caught that interview, it's about 33 minutes or something like that in total. We posted it as basically a normal podcast episode. So if you are subscribed to us in all of the locations that you would typically listen, whether it's the iHeartRadio app or Spotify or the website directly, pretty much wherever you get your podcast, that episode will be there, and you can feel free to listen to it. It was a good interview, to the point where the most important aspect, and I know Matt said something about questions that we had asked, some of them had to go to USL's office. The most important thing is that every question that we asked, none of it was censored. So yeah, these are all straightforward, shot from the hip, essentially, questions that we were not told there were subjects we couldn't touch. There were not subjects that we couldn't phrase the way we wanted to or whatever. So if you want a very honest soccer fan view of that situation, by all means, give it a listen. It was a lot of fun to conduct the interview. But yeah, we'll talk about some of the details of that conversation, because there were a few takeaways that I had about it that I'd be curious to kind of get your thoughts and share that with all of you.
So wait, so what you're saying is there is no Snyder Cut version of the interview? There's no Cundiff Cut? Released a Cundiff Cut?
I am going to say that there is other stuff that exists.
There is a 4.5 hour version of this with an ending that makes absolutely no sense, and it's in black and white, even though it's audio. Just go with it.
That's technically true, but you will never see it, my friends. There is no...
Until we post a video.
There is no... Oh.
You're just thinking right now about how you would have to go back and edit the video to line up with the audio.
At this point, it's not released the Cundiff Cut anymore, then. It's released the Cox Cut, because...
Well, no, that's a whole different kind of video. we said last night we're not going to talk about those kind of things in this interview, right?
This is true. This is true. Well, we're all on high spirits because, of course, the Tampa Bay Rowdies this past weekend absolutely dominated again, winning a confident 3-0 victory over the Pittsburgh Riverhounds. That performance, I agree with Neil's post-game comments. I thought that was absolutely a more complete component, or a complete performance than the game against Charlotte to open the year. I think
it's a more complete performance just because there was a first half goal and a mob end goal. Like right there, that counts as most complete performance.
I would absolutely agree with that. Keeping in mind, of course, that it was Pittsburgh's first game. So there are still things they're trying to work out. That team is a very different team, much like Charleston last year, where we beat Charleston, you know, in July. I think it was like the 10th game of the year, I think, maybe. No, not that many. Anyways, you know, we beat them early in July, I think 2-0, and then Charleston came back, and once they had regrouped on some of their own terms, they were able to get a couple of victories in a row against us before we beat them again in the playoffs. I can't count Pittsburgh out. As we mentioned, the coaching is still there. The player talent is still there. I mean, they still got some well-known names like Cicerone, for example. I'm not going to write them off as being bad yet just because of the confidence that we had in this game. They didn't even complete 250 passes in the game. I mean, they barely touched the ball. They did not have any great chance numbers. You know, I think they had, 4 shots on goal, but none of them were substantial. As far as forcing great saves out of Lauro, for example, they had a couple of shots that should have been on frame that weren't, but you know, overall it didn't feel like a threatening, when it comes to looking at this game from a defensive standpoint, I didn't really feel threatened by Pittsburgh for much of that game.
No, and you know, we talked a lot about last week in the preview about, you know, it's Bob Lilly. He knows the kind of guys he's looking for. He knows the system he wants to play. And you kind of fact, I mean, I felt like more of our evaluation of Pittsburgh, because there was no way to evaluate them coming into that game. They haven't had a regular season game yet. They've got a lot of new faces. A lot of the evaluation is on Lilly's historical ability to get the best out of players. So I'm not shocked by a 3-0 win, even though it wasn't what I predicted. I'm not looking at it. I'm also not looking at it though as like, oh man, we beat Pittsburgh 3-0, man, we're just going to run away. Like, we can take about as much away from that game as we could from the first one. And really all that is 3 points. Like there's no evaluations yet, because neither of those teams had played games yet. And a lot of them, and they're dealing with a lot of new players and working on the chemistry bit of it as well. Even if you kind of look ahead to this weekend's opponent, it's pretty much the same thing, because Phoenix has also won their first two games 3-0, but they've played San Diego Loyal, which They have a really cool crest. Doesn't mean they're a great team. They need to talk to Tulsa and figure out what good branding and good on the field play, how to put those two together. And then Oakland Roots, who are fired their head coach like 2 weeks before the season started. They've got expansion club written all over it. So while I think Phoenix is pretty good and we're gonna have a great time this weekend, I don't know what I really know about Phoenix yet from those first two games, because I don't think you can take a whole lot from those first two games either. They beat teams they should have beaten, and they beat them about as well as strongly as they should have. And I feel like we did the same thing.
Agreed. And I think that's the big question, too, is the fact that because we really don't know much about Phoenix and the concept of how they play against tough teams and tough competition, at the same time, we really haven't been tested by an offensive threat really at all either. So there's still a lot of unknowns both ways, because Charleston and Charlotte are not going to probably be goal scoring teams this year. That's not necessarily what I would expect out of either one of them. So, you know, this is going to present a very, it's a huge unknown. And I would say this, the biggest unknown going into this next game, and we'll touch on this of course later, is basically that Phoenix offense versus the Rowdies defense. But, you know, more focused to Pittsburgh, I think that's one thing that is exciting, is the fact that we've been able to shut down these teams our first 2 weeks of the season with two good shutouts, and not just shutouts, but very dominating defensive performances in both matches, and especially in this Pittsburgh game. I'm happy with how the offense is playing at the moment. Could it be more exciting? Could we flood the box? Could we? Of course. Of course. I mean, obviously, it's everybody wants to see that kind of free-flowing soccer offensively. So you're always going to get that question at halftime. It's a 0-0 game. It's a 1-0 game. And it's going to be, what do we need to do to score more and put this game away? And it's like, well, I mean, yeah, could it be 3-0? Maybe. But it's not like the other team is doing a whole lot. So you're not really in a rush to change anything. You know, there's not really a desire to make substitutions at halftime. We're doing what we need to do. And getting Leo Fernandez a assist and a Dos Santos goal with his head, those are two things that need to happen. Like, if we're going to be a number one team in this division, that combination has to happen probably, what would you say, Matt, 10 times this year? You know, that,
I don't know about 10 headers, but I'd like to see Steven score in double digits.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you'd love to see Steven score a lot too, because, you know, you maybe, and I don't just mean yourself. Oh, Steven, I'm sorry. You walked right into that. I had to.
I can't escape it. I can't.
Honestly, though, you know, so I ended up, I wasn't able to come up to the game for some reasons, but I was following along online. I didn't even try to watch the stream at first because I was hearing about the audio issues. So first off, shout out to everyone tweeting, especially our friends at Soccer Crush, who were providing Dan with like international updates because he couldn't get the game like on video or audio at all. But I was like legitimately excited for Dos Santos to score, not just because it's the Rowdy scoring your goal, but we have not had the best track record with bringing in forwards and having them kind of get off to a good start. So he's done that. Yeah, we'll call one goal against his former club in Pittsburgh off to a good start. I'm excited for it. Like, I just, you know, we're not going to be sitting here waiting for like the fourth or fifth game for the new forward to have scored.
That's an important, very, very, very important detail. If you've been with this club for a long time, if you've been keeping track of this, how many times have we brought in the big, giant, lumbering beast of a striker and it not work out? You know, granted, like, when you're going way back in time, let's bring up like somebody.
Salgado.
Say what?
Omar Salgado.
Okay, let's go back even further. Carl Court.
Carl Court? Well, I mean, we did win a trophy.
But it wasn't
in part,
like
Mr. Carl Court.
But it wasn't like he was scoring a ton of goals to help us get there. He contributed, but I'm just saying, like,
yeah, but he got the important one.
I mean, he got some important ones. There's no question. But we've never had, like, we've brought these guys in, the Omar Salgados, the you know, the Maicon Santos. I'm trying to think of some of the other ones here off the top of my head, but, and I know there's others that I'm missing right now.
Tons.
Yeah, exactly. That's the sad part.
It was the annual, like, this is who was going to eventually replace Georgie, and then Georgie went out and scored 12 goals anyway.
True. And yeah, I mean, if Dos Santos can get that streak going, can get some goals early, I think that that bids well for the rest of the season, because it will cement what his role is. And what's important about that is that means that teams will have to focus on him defensively. It'll make his job harder. So maybe the back half of the season, that goal scoring rate might go down, but that's okay, because maybe that'll open up more space for Sebastian Gonzatti. Maybe that opens up more space for Juan Tejada if he's on the field. That's what Dos Santos has to be for us early in the season. He has to show that he is a very dignified aerial threat that you have to account for and you have to focus on, because that will potentially draw double teams halfway into the season. If he's already got like 6 goals in the first like 2 months, 6-7 goals, whatever, that's going to become a focal point defensively for opposition teams. And that means that we will get space for other players to step up into. So I'm super excited with how that result happened this weekend.
You want some names?
This is going to be the painful moment of the podcast, everybody. Matt, remind us of our unfortunate lack of success with certain strikers we've had with this jersey.
All right. A sampling, by no means complete. And not necessarily that these are all tall, like target men kind of guys. Honestly, so we'll start off on a good note. The last guy I can think of who kind of came in and got off to what, if I remember correctly, at least it feels like a good start, Deshaun Brown.
Yes, that was absolutely a player.
He ended up with 3 goals in 14 appearances for the Rowdies in 2017. That may be the most successful recent striker. Wasn't even here the entire season. Ended up going to DC United because he had that kind of hot start and caught some eyes. As far as some names of guys who did not quite pan out, nice guys, pretty much. I think I've met most, if not all, of these. Some of them very, very nice people. Still fans and somewhat friends with some of these guys. Let's go way back. Hop in the way back machine to 2013. Devin Del Doe from Minnesota. 1 goal, 15 appearances. A little bit more recent times. Definitely a good dude. Tom Heineman. Did rack up 4 goals eventually, but super late start for him. Excellent person. Corey Herzog. 32 appearances, 4 goals. Darwin Jones. 23 appearances, 1 goal. And just because I know Dan will think of this at some point. This is a guy, man, I was big on this guy. And I don't know why. There was no obvious reason to. I was big on, back in 2014, Luciano Olguin, the Argentinian.
Yes.
6 appearances, no goals.
Yep.
Yeah, not the greatest not the greatest run there, but
it's changing this year, and that's what matters.
Hey, you know, and that's when we signed the guy. Like I said publicly, hey, this is a guy who has gone several places and has scored everywhere he's gone. And then in the back of my head, I was like, dear God, please don't let it take four games for him to get a goal. Dear God, please don't let it take four games for him to get a goal. And it only took two. So cool. Good. We're off to a good start. Long may it continue.
In the world of predictions, you and I last week both said the same scoreline, 2-1 as a victory. We didn't quite get that right, but we got the wins. That's what matters.
I'm still counting this as a win because did I predict three goals? Yes, I did. Were three goals scored? Yes. Did I predict the Rowdies win? Yes. Did the Rowdies win? Yes. I think this counts as a win.
For those listening on the radio currently, that part of the show will be cut out of the podcast version. So good luck with that.
Well, I'm just going to make sure I pepper that into several other segments from here on out. See if you can catch all of them. Kind of win. And Dan made a prediction, and I forget what he said. He might have said 2-0. If Dan, he's listening right now, he'd probably chime in. Dan. I remember he said something from his island getaway, like Dan playing the role of like evil Bond villain for a couple days there. Especially posting the pictures. Good Lord, Dan.
Well,
Dan.
With that, it's worth mentioning, of course, that Dos Santos and Fernandez and even Guinzotti, despite having really good games, were not the only contributors to the goal scoring. Jordan Adebayo-Smith got a goal in this game on a really hilarious pressure where the a funky miscommunication just kind of led to him tapping it on an open net.
Yeah, very, very FIFA there.
Very FIFA. And then, unfortunately, a couple of minutes later, something else happened, and we're not going to talk about that yet.
Could have been another very FIFA one there.
The starting lineup this week, there were two differences compared to the week before. Hilton came on and started in place of Doherty, and Fernandez came on and had replaced the starting role with Dahlgaard. That makes sense. Those were basically substitutions that we essentially saw last week, so I can't say that it's too surprising that the subs from week one became basically starters in week two. That makes perfect sense. It trends correctly. Fernandez, of course, not being quite fully fit yet and just making sure that we're managing his minutes, did come off. Harris came on to replace him. Adebayo, of course, had replaced Dos Santos in this game, and Sebastian Dahlgaard did come in as a sub replacing Connor Antley, who has, by all accounts, had a couple of really solid games. I have not had any qualms with any of the performances from some of the new guys, but Connor Antley, especially since he's been a starter for 2 weeks in a row here, I've enjoyed watching him play so far.
This is another weird thing to this season, but like everyone that's been signed, that's gotten in, that's had a chance to play, like no one's really disappointed or no one's been like, yeah, that guy needs some more time in training. Like everyone's done pretty well. The one thing that slightly annoyed me about the lineup, and it has nothing to do with Neil or the players themselves. I was writing writing up a preview for the game, and I made a lineup graphic in which I predicted that Fernandez and Hilton would make the start. And the preview is still sitting in the drafts because I could not find the refereeing information yet because Pro hadn't posted it on their website, and I hadn't gotten a copy of the match notes yet. So you can go and do the drafts and verify that there is a lineup graphic there where I said Hilton and Fernandez would start. Annoyed by it.
Well, yeah, that sucks. Well, good news is no yellow cards this week. Good dominating performance doesn't usually require killing the opposition, so I'll take that as a little pat on the back for the guys. Good, bad, ugly for this past week. I'm not going with any uglies this week. I would say my good at the moment is Steven Dos Santos. I think I have to give the good for him. Again, we got to get him started early, so him actually getting started early is nothing but a help. He drew the penalty that got us the second goal. you know, that's exactly what you're needing from your big target strikers up there. You need contributions. Sebastian had a bit of a quiet night outside of the PK finish. In fact, I believe that was his only shot in the game, was that penalty kick. But, yeah, you know, it's, that is what it is. We still got a 3-0 victory. It's okay. My only bad for the night, this I touched on it a second ago, that Adebayo one-on-one with the goalkeeper. Brother, if you're going to get a starting role in a team that has other players that are scoring goals, you've got to finish opportunities like that. I don't care if the game's already 3-0.
Well, you know, he didn't play a ton in preseason. I'm going to chalk it up to that. He'll come good. He'll come
He's
good.
He's also a kid. He's also a kid. Don't... So I'm not going to rash on you too bad, bud. But I'm just saying, like, oh, that's got to be an opportunity. You finished. You've got the entire field. There wasn't even any pressure defensively. Just ouch.
Yeah. Also, that one game we did see him play in preseason, I think I learned everything I needed to know about him to be like, yeah, this guy will score some goals.
Oh yeah, he'll be fine.
yeah, I'm good with that. That's going to be okay. You might, you know what, you can't score if you don't take the shot. So at least there's you create the opportunity, and we'll see what happens. Yeah, I'm good. My only bad, my good is pretty much everything. I do have an ugly actually. My bad is I didn't get to go. I'm mad. Every year I'm like, okay, this is the year I'm finally going to make it to every single home game. And then it's like, oh, wait, second one, can't go. Crap. Oh, well. I will definitely be there this weekend. We are bringing a guest to the berm. A little bit of a birthday present for him since the single game tickets went on sale. But we decided to hook a friend of the show up with a spot on the hill. Which, by the way, I was very – I don't know how much research – Brian or someone did for Brian before we came on, but the fact that Brian was like, yeah, you guys are really enjoying Ricky's Hill, huh? And I was like, okay, dude's good. I like that. The name has got traction beyond just us. As I'm sitting here looking at my wallpaper, which is shows Ricky's Hill in the corner right there where my non-seat will be for this weekend. And we will be doing I talked to them about it last week, and I haven't really followed up, but everyone said good. We will be doing the halftime show with Soccer Crush again on Twitter Spaces. Should be kicking off around, 8:45, 8:50-ish probably. Made a couple stabs at maybe having a sponsor for the segment. They may be joining us as well on Saturday. We'll find out.
Well, that would be great news.
Yeah.
So, yeah, make sure
I keep buying beverages to drink during the segment.
Yeah. yeah, so make sure if you are at the game or if you're at home to go ahead and open up. I believe the meeting room or whatever is exclusive to the mobile app, right? It's not something you can access through desktop.
Not yet, I don't think. Not on there, not on TweetDeck, in the mobile app. And there'll be a tweet to go. Like if you have the notifications turned on for us, you'll get a notification. Cause I get them from other accounts with like, so-and-so is talking now, which seems kind of a weird notification to get from Twitter, but we'll get used to it. yeah, it's a lot of fun. Dan and maybe we'll bring the guest on too. We'll see.
Matt, who is officially going down as your man of the match for week two?
You know me, I keep it simple. I don't overanalyze it. It's Steven Dos Santos. To get the first goal and to do it against your former team and to not, and usually I don't care that much about it, but to make the effort to not celebrate it that much, I thought was cool. My quote of the game that I threw in the recap from listening to the post-game interviews, someone asked Neil, Does Dos Santos not celebrating? Does that kind of, you know, show you the kind of character that he has? And Neil's like, hey, if it was me, I'd be taking a victory lap around the entire stadium. So I'm giving it to Steven Dos Santos. Goals win games. I'm going for it.
Tonight, I 100% agree with you. Steven Dos Santos, my man of the match.
You just got a pro Steven bias.
I will neither confirm nor deny a pro Stephen bias.
Remember, if we get he gets the hat trick, you gotta put you gotta drop an extra E in your name.
It's true. It's true. I actually I will do that. I will do that. Couple other results from this past weekend from across the Eastern Conference. In our division, the Atlantic Division, New York Red Bulls 2 played to a 1-1 draw with Charleston Battery, and Hartford earned a 1-0 victory in Miami. That's an interesting result because that does push Hartford to 2-0 on the year, and Miami did not look particularly great in that game. There are a lot of questions to be asked of Miami, especially with how that first game went, too. There are still a lot of open questions about Miami right now that I can't say they're bad because it's only week two. But some of the things that we're seeing are just, like, odd, I guess you could say is a word to put it. Their finishing isn't quite great. They're setting up plays. Like, even last, you know, a week and a half ago, they were setting plays up early, and then all of a sudden the wheels fall off. I mean, obviously the red card doesn't help, but, you know, that's a team that, again, like last year, it's like they feel dangerous, they look dangerous, and then it just doesn't actually become dangerous in the end.
I'm not going to go as far as to say this is definitely what's happening. But, you know, there were a lot of people who fell for the hype of Miami last year, thinking they were the same Miami team from like 3 years ago in NASL. And because the one time they spent a bunch of money on a bunch of players that were really good, that sudden, like somehow that just like magic fairy dust was going to sprinkle on this team of mostly lower division guys who hadn't even played at like USL level. And they were somehow going to be world beaters. They've obviously upgraded the roster a little bit. I think I saw them make another signing, like just before last week's game, or announce another signing just before the game. You know, it might be a case of some people going, well, you won't fool me again, Miami. I know you're actually going to be good this year, and maybe they're not going to be that good. They're definitely, I think, going to be better than last year, but it's still kind of too, like, honestly, if I'm looking over all the results right now, like, okay, I'm biased towards us because I've seen us play and you know, we know what's kind of going on behind the scenes. I think we're good. I think we're, you know, a 2-0 team, and that's well earned. And it's, you know, there's 3 weeks in a row on top of the power rankings, and it's now it's weird being in that situation, but I think it's earned. Hartford, not sure how legit it was, you know, because Miami we still don't know a lot about. I'm trying to remember their first game. Who did they beat in the first game? Hold on, I got the stuff here. I can just look it up rather than ask rhetorically. Hartford, a 3-2 over Red Bulls 2. And a lot of people said that Red Bull 2 weren't going to be that great this year, but they've been in their games so far, the couple that they've played. They haven't won one yet, but they've been in there. So they might be better than their record. I don't know if Hartford is as good as their record, but the team that I'm really kind of impressed by so far is Tulsa.
Agreed.
Tulsa's 3-0 with a +6 in goal difference. I mean, sure, we did that in two games, whatever. But Tulsa, you know, knocked off Indy 2-0 over the weekend. Also has wins over SKC, which you kind of expect, and against OKC, which energy are not great. But that's a rivalry game, so there's a little extra energy in there. And, you know, we still have to wait and see how their division shakes out. They've got Louisville. They've got Indy. They've got Birmingham. But they've also got Atlanta United. They've also got Sporting KC and OKC Energy and Memphis 901. There's a chance that Tulsa's a pretty good team this year. Like, I would look at this and say they're probably a playoff team coming out of that division.
I would tend to agree that that is definitely the eye opener to start the season. But again, it's this weekend's result where they beat Indy 2-0. That's the significant moment right now. As far as, like, yeah, those first two games, OKC is terrible. Sporting KC is not going to be, you know, they were decent last year in the mini group setup, you know, that we were playing under, But right, nobody's necessarily riding home with Sporting this year. I mean, why would you?
Right.
But that 2-0 result to Indy is something. That potentially means something. So when it comes to what our potential Central Division playoff opponents are, that is a team in the early stage to look out for. The other result that happened that was noteworthy was the Louisville-Birmingham 1-1 draw. That's only going to show how strong that division is. It's going to be interesting. I'm glad that we're in the Atlantic and that we have the teams we have, because that Central Division is kind of scary.
Like death situation there.
Yeah, it does kind of feel like it right now.
Yeah, you know, and you know, Louisville had the coaching change in between their first and second game, so this was the beginning of the Danny Cruz era. Who's the sporting director? It's not like he's a totally unknown figure at the team. They score early, looks like, and honestly, I saw the tweet about them scoring early, and I kind of figured it was going to be off to the races for Louisville. And then I came back like later on in the evening, was looking at some of the recaps, and I was like, whoa, wait, Louisville didn't win that game. I figured they were good for another, like, you know, two or three goals possibly in that game. Nothing against Birmingham, but like Louisville's just a good team. Yeah, that the Tulsa result against Indy is important. Now, the thing I don't know is whether that tells me more about Tulsa or more about Indy. Indy did kind of impress a little bit, getting a 1-0 win in the first week away to Birmingham. Not that 1-0 is impressive, but that was a terrible surface. So to come out of that game with a goal and a victory, I thought was pretty impressive. Showed the at least the grit that Indy probably has, and we know they're going to be a good team. If I'm looking just off the top of my head, looking at the teams in that division, I think your playoff teams are, and not necessarily in this order, but you're going to have Tulsa, Louisville, Indy, and Birmingham, I think, are going to be your playoff teams coming out of there. Yeah, that's a nice win for Tulsa. I mean, and you know, we see this every season. We saw it when we came back from the pandemic break last year, and Neil even mentioned it. Like the first couple weeks are always interesting, because you've got some teams that have a lot of turnover. You have teams that are making coaching changes. We have a lot of early season coaching changes for various reasons going on. And then you've got teams like us sitting here with a huge amount of continuity and a couple new guys that have signed, and everyone's betting in kind of good. And, you know, if you can get some points now, you can, I mean, this is a little way of banking up some points for the longer stretches of the season, when the, you know, when it's like 95 degrees in the middle of July at Al Lang and you get a 1-1 draw to Hartford or something. Like, okay, cool. But you know, you knocked off somebody else earlier in the season when maybe not everybody's at full strength. Like it's important to win those games, especially those early games that you're supposed to win, because those points can come in handy down the road.
And that's always what it is in the early season. It's weird results because teams aren't into their grooves yet, the good teams, that is. And yeah, you're just scrounging around for points. We are not in that boat is what is the takeaway that I'm hearing, and the takeaway that we're seeing on the field right now. We know our system. We know what's up. We're playing for points right now, right off the bat, and form and consistency. Not everybody can say that. The game this weekend did produce two results for the team of the week for USL as a whole. Forrest Lasso and Steven Dos Santos, both well-deserved Team of the Week appointments from the league. So we do give our congratulations to those gentlemen. I don't want to spend and spill all the secrets of our Brian Ald interview on the radio here. We want you to go and listen to it. Please go and listen to it. Share it with your friends. Spread the goodness. Make sure people know that it exists and that it's worthy listening to. But I do want to touch on one thought that I had regarding this specifically. It does seem at the moment, there were two takeaways that I noticed. The idea of dual sport, I don't know how well thought out that idea was when they first came up with it and threw it out at the St. Pete City Council meeting what is going on behind closed door in Rowdy's leadership when it comes to the potential designing processes and things. I don't know how much research had been done from a soccer perspective about what that would look like. Which is, if you listen to the interview, which is one reason why I bring up not just a personal feeling of, you know, anxiety that the Rowdies fan base may have for that idea, but the historical trends that go along with that, that's feeding the Rowdies anxiety about that situation. That part kind of concerns me. It feels good to get, let's put it this way, when you're conducting an interview with somebody of that importance, when you can get him on the interview to say, you know, I don't want to dance around your question a little bit. When he's saying that, you know, you've probably asked a decent question. And so if you have not listened to the Brian Ald interview, yes, we got him to say that once. So please, it is definitely worthy a listen. That part concerned me a little bit. Because he didn't answer the question with, I know of the background of this. It was, well, we understand, that's going to be a challenge that we have to address. That sounded more reactionary than proactive of a response to that. So yeah, that's something that concerned me right off the bat. The other is the response that he had in regards to the future of the Rowdies and Rays. If, you know, what happens if if it's out of our control, you know, what happens to the Rays? We're going to the Al Lang. We're going to be doing our thing. We're cheering on our team and growing our fan base the best we can. But what happens if the Rays don't get their way with the local municipalities? What happens to us? And the response that you get is basically, we're going to find somebody local to sell the team to. That was my interpretation. If you've already listened to the interview, that was my interpretation of his response to that question. I'm not saying I'm surprised by it. If that ends up being the route, it makes a lot of sense. And obviously, there's more people than just Stu Sternberg in Rays ownership. So maybe it becomes a situation where some of those minor partners end up taking full control in a more direct way. Maybe that's the circumstance, you know, long term. But the answer that he gave seemed to allude to a sale. Those were my two takeaways without diving too much into the fun time we had on that interview, because we definitely want you guys to be listening to that, because there is way more than that was discussed. I don't want to just give away all the secrets. So
yeah,
please.
If you're looking for an update on a potential women's team, it's in there.
Yep.
If you're looking for how running a sports team is like being a teacher, it's in there. You know, the one thing, and this isn't like, you know, like a tidbit necessarily, the one thing that I regret not following up on, because he used the phrase several times in there was, and you know, it's every good owner, uses this at some point, especially when discussing potentially, divisive or controversial changes, about how they're the stewards of the team. The team belongs to the fans. The teams belong to the community. They're just the stewards. They're, you know, the fan base is what's here forever, and the owners kind of come and go. Which I'm not doubting his sincerity in that at all. But coming in the week where you've had the Columbus owners who have frequently said, we're just here as stewards of the team. We're stewards of the franchise. And now they're changing the name and dropping the logo after being told by their hardcore supporters, by their supporters groups, by their season ticket holders, that it's terrible and it's a terrible idea. Again, I'm not saying that I doubt Brian's sincerity when he says that, but I hope he understands there's going to be some trepidation based on, I wanted to ask him what his thoughts were, what, if he had any thoughts or any reaction to how badly this has gone for Columbus. If he just had any takeaways, just from a sports executive point of view, because it's easy for us to sit here as fans and be like, man, you really screwed up that one, because they did. Like the Chicago Fire rebrand is bad, but at least they kept Fire in their name because that's the name of the team. This is,
it is.
I really don't want this to turn into like what really grinds my gears, and especially about something that doesn't involve the Rowdies at all. But I also wanted to put this out there. You know, there's, you know, we had the MLS to St. Pete push a while back for whatever that was worth. If you like going to Al Lang Stadium to watch a Rowdies game, and you're really desperate for the Rowdies to go to MLS, you might have to spend some time reconciling those positions, because if Tampa Bay goes to MLS, the only way you're going to be buying Rowdies merchandise is going to be a retro t-shirt sold through the MLS shop, because that name is going to go away. FC Tampa Bay will be coming back, or something along those lines, and it's boring and it's stale and I hate the hell out of it.
Yeah, and that becomes part of this thing, right? Is this idea of like the stewards of the team and things like that. I mean, it's one thing to say it, and I'm, like I said, just like you, I'm not doubting sincerity at all, but there's also a corporate reality to it. And the corporate reality is they can do whatever they want. It's their entity. If they want to self-destruct the thing and rebrand the whole thing, whatever, there's the same thing is true with Columbus. I mean, you literally have an ownership group that comes in to take over for Anthony Precourt on the basis of the hashtag Save the Crew, and then they literally change the name to drop the name Crew from the official name of the team.
Well,
at the end of the day, corporate America doesn't care about little guys' traditions. Big entities, legendary entities, whatever it is, are their playthings, and we're kind of just trashed on. That's really the unfortunate reality of it. So, yeah, I agree with you. If an MLS thing were to happen, I am not confident at all we would be continue to be allowed to be called the Rowdies, or at least not allowed.
There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way. And, you know, it took legal efforts to get the name back, the rights to the name back in the first place. If it goes away again, like, it's not coming back.
Yeah.
And you know, I was hold my hand up. I was behind the MLS to St. Pete push, 'cause I really liked the idea of that stadium. And it seemed like something that would cement that happening. But I'm at the point now where I'd rather go watch the Tampa Bay Rowdies play at the, you know, University of Tampa's multi-purpose field in UPSL, because I want to go see the Rowdies. Like, that's the name of my team. And that's the whole thing. Like, you know, there's all kinds of backlash and backlash to the backlash going on with the Columbus stuff. They want to change the crest. I don't care. Like, I thought the last crest is way better than this new thing they've come up with anyway. But changing the name of the team, like, that's the heart and soul of that club. Like, those are Crew fans. Like, and they come out with this, you know, we're trying to make Columbus a world, you know, a global brand. I'm not going to spend a whole bunch more time on this. Lots of people have done this better than I have, especially our friends who are Columbus fans. Brian Strauss over at SI wrote a great column, and it's weird to say that something published on Sports Illustrated in the last few years has been great, about MLS's all these rebrands and expansion teams that have come in, and they're all FC this or United that, or now, you know, something City. And he had a line in there that, like, it's obvious and it's as plain as day, but I hadn't really thought about it, and it kind of hit, and I was like, wow. MLS only has teams so that it can schedule games. They're not interested in representing the community. Like, Columbus is never going to be a global brand. When it comes to terms of soccer, like, New York isn't a global brand. Washington isn't a global brand. Boston isn't a global brand. You can make the argument that, like, LA Galaxy might be the only MLS team that people across the world and other countries, like, know. You're not making, like, MLS is the global brand they're actually giving a crap about, not these teams. And it goes down to, it's not just the team names and the logos, which are just becoming incredibly generic. But everyone's playing in like a black jersey now. Like it's just become like, you know, Philly's got a little bit of creativity left. Trying to think off the top of my head, who else? And, you know, New England Revolution still has the original badge, which is always interesting. It looks like it would fit perfect on the 94 US denim kits at some point. But that's dying. And I kind of, as much as I bag on Las Vegas a lot, and I'll keep doing it, but like at least they're doing something different. It's not necessarily something good, but at least it's something different to look at. And this is where like the fun is like USL and NISA and whatever else is out there at different levels. Like that's NPSL. I mean, that's where you're seeing people having some fun with it, not a bunch of brands or people trying to be brands. Like, you know, the thing I saw when I left work today was that the GM, who was the GM of Toronto FC when they were winning things, told a Save the Crew member like a year or two ago that it might be worth losing 8,000 fans if you can gain 15 million fans. And I don't know where the hell they think they're getting 15 million fans, because they dropped Crew from the name and came up with a generic logo. People like sitting on the couch are like, I'd just be into soccer if the logo looked like a flag and had a C that kind of looked like a broken Q or something in it. Like, I don't, at some point you, not that you necessarily have to cater everything to your hardcore fans, but at some point you take care of the fans who are there and have been there, instead of chasing these imaginary ghost fans who don't exist, or they would have been there already. Like, make Columbus Crew again.
Yeah.
Put it on a hat. There you go. I'm done with my rant.
Well, one team not suffering from any identity issues at the moment is Phoenix Rising. This is a club who has had a track record of success, though at times, sometimes there's had some controversial individual moments. The franchise itself has always been strong. And we are getting our absolutely 100% the championship makeup game, but not really in case we lose moment of the 2021 season. Head coach, of course, is Rick Shantz. They do play at a new stadium at, it's actually Phoenix Rising Stadium, at Wild Horse Pass, a new little facility they've got. Doesn't really look a whole lot different from the old one. It's basically a bunch of glorified bleachers. Yes, I went there. All right. The last game out, as we mentioned earlier, was a 3-0 victory over Oakland Roots. Not surprising. Oakland is terrible. Last season, of course, they went 11-3-2. They finished in first place in their group. Second overall in standings to the Western Conference. But, of course, won the Western Conference. I'm looking forward to settling this. Off season, they did lose, of course, one very important player, Junior Flemings. Not at the same time, also kind of a, we lost him. Kind of not a big deal for considering the circumstances there.
Yeah.
They did, of course, pick up several players. Some of them are probably people you not have really ever heard of. That's typical for lower division. I'm not really worried about that.
I've got their actual like current roster in front of me. Let me just run through this, because I listed the guys who signed there, but the guys they still had under contract or the options they exercised. Like, listen to this. Solomon Asante. Darnell King. We all know Darnell King. Rufat Dadashov. I mean, these are guys that even though they're in the Western Conference, you've heard of because they're good. Kevon Lambert. Santi Moore. Picked up guys like Aiden Quinn, Prince Sadie, we saw with Miami last year. He's originally out of Detroit City, if I remember correctly. They've got two guys on loan from Colorado Rapids, another a goalkeeper and a defender on loan from the Rapids, another defender on loan from Minnesota United FC. This is another team that, okay, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 options that were exercised, 1, 2, 3, 4 guys that were under contract, one who was re-signed. They've signed a lot of new players.
but they still have a lot of good players. Like they reloaded. They kept their, especially, you know, okay, they lost Junior Fleming, who scored a lot of goals, but you still got Solomon Asante. You still got Rufus Datashot. You still have Santi Moore. You've got a lot of attacking talent on that side.
I mean, yeah. And that's the big thing that I'm looking at right now is the fact that we haven't really been tested by a team with good offense, and Phoenix absolutely is a team with good offense. They've been a good team with good offense for like 3 years now, or I guess going on a third year at the very least. You know, that's the matchup that I'm looking at. Their offense versus our defense. I am fully confident that we can score goals against Phoenix.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely confident in that. It's just a question of how well we can handle these. Let's face it, in USL, these are star players.
Yeah, absolutely.
And these are players that some people have wondered why they're not in MLS right now. Granted, that could be because Phoenix has a pretty high asking price. Good for them if that's the case.
They got Drogba still paying these guys out of his own pocket, probably.
Yeah, right. I'm optimistic that this is going to go our way, but I am nervous because this is probably the hardest game technically that we're going to play on paper all year until, of course, we meet them again in the championship game in November.
Also at Al Ling. Yeah.
This is going to be tough. This is going to be amazing, actually.
So in addition to us talking with Brian Ault, I recorded a bit for a Phoenix podcast. I guess it was last Friday. Got tweeted out today. I retweeted it. I'll do it again later on this evening. And one of the things that they asked me, and you know, hopefully they don't think I'm actually like know what I'm talking about, or you know, but how does Phoenix beat Tampa Bay? And I was like, look, you guys have great attacking talent. We've got a pretty good defense. So you've got to capitalize on what chances you do get. And again, you know, we're still early on in our season, so it's kind of hard to base anything off of what we're doing now. But we have so much continuity, we can kind of base things off what we saw last season. The big things for me are that you can't waste your chances because there's likely not going to be a lot. You'll get chances, but our defense is pretty good. I'm confident in their ability. And the other thing is, and this is why going back to Dos Santos's goal, getting goals early, getting first half goals, because last year we didn't play well when we were down. Especially if you got down like two goals to Phoenix, we might get opportunities, but that's going to be rough. So keeping us from scoring early because it's a confidence boost. We saw exactly how it turned things around in Louisville, getting the early goal from Steinberger. That's just that is a major key for us to establish that confidence. And you don't want to look at, I don't want to make the prediction that whoever scores first is going to win. And it seems kind of common sense or obvious to say it, but whoever scores first is going to have a hell of an advantage. Not just on the score sheet, but psychologically.
I mean, of course. Absolutely. I think that the key to this game, let's just assume that we have the same starting lineup as this last match. I think that'll be my starting point on this. I would bet that the key to this game ends up being Lewis Hilton. Here's the reason why I say that. That defensive midfield role that he essentially occupies, because him and Lawrence Wyke play defensive mids together. We know Wyke is capable he's a bit more of an offensive push, and he takes a bit more risk offensively. Steinberger, of course, in the middle of the field, he's the offensive mid officially. He's doing a good job up there. Nothing to worry about, you know, early season for that. Hilton's going to be the one primarily responsible for covering. Basically, he's the one that's going to be the pressure man for whoever's going to be feeding balls into Solomon Asante and Dadashov up top. That's the guy. if his game is off, we're in trouble. Because if they, with a three-man back line, they've got the speed up front to exploit that back line. It's going to be like the Birmingham game last year. You give somebody enough time and space, and they will pick apart our back three. There's just so much space to exploit. And when you've got a fast guy up there to do it, that's how it's going to get done. I think everything's going to come down to basically Lewis Hilton. You know, if Doherty ends up getting the start, then it would come on Doherty's shoulders, essentially. But that's where my eyes are going to be on as far as where the success on this game is going to come in from.
All right, so a couple questions. Neil said in the midweek press conference last week that Jan Ekerö is getting close, that that last weekend may be too much of an ask for him, but if not, then definitely he would be ready this weekend. Having not had a ton of playing time preseason-wise, no playing time in the regular season so far, if Ekerö's available, if he's good to go, I don't think you start him. But do you put him on the bench as an option, as a mid to late game sub? And if so, who does he come on for?
Well, I think he's a pretty obvious replacement for Steinberger in a game. And so, yeah, okay. I would say that he is going to be available on the bench. And I think that would be the man that he would be replacing, as if we need a late game push. He's not going to be on the bench if Neil and the trainers don't believe he's fully fit and ready to go. That's not how the Rowdies operate. We're not just going to put a guy there because he's there. We have to be confident that he can contribute. So if he's on the bench and we're down late, especially if we're down late, I would absolutely expect him to come on as, I don't want to say a desperation move, but I can definitely see that being the case.
Especially if we're down, because if I recall correctly, Phoenix usually plays a 4-4-2. So throwing on an extra guy, trying to get forward to attack their back line. You mentioned Lewis Hilton as one guy to keep an eye on. And we said, you know, that their attack on our defenders is going to be a key matchup to watch. I think another matchup is just what happens in the midfield. Which team is able to do what it wants in the midfield? Because like you said, Phoenix is going to be trying to serve, create chances and serve balls out to their attackers. And look at some of the guys they've got in the midfield. Kevin Lambert, John Baccaro, Aiden Quinn. Like, they've got, as talented as they are up front, they might be as good. Well, I don't want to say as good, but they're not far off with their midfield talent either. So being able to contain them, to stifle the attacks in the midfield, maybe even trying to hit on the counter, possibly could be the way to go against this team. You see a lot of people online, usually on match days or whatever, especially like right before a big game, and there's the people who do this kind of like performative, I'm so nervous, the nerves, I've changed underwear 4 times today. Like, I don't get like that. I just get excited. I'm excited about this game because this is two really talented teams, even if they're not the exact two teams from last season. These are two really talented teams. If we were going to have a reunion against a former player, honestly, I'm glad. And this is going to sound like I'm insulting him. I'm glad that it's Darnell coming back, because Darnell is a Tampa Bay guy. Like, I'm glad we get to see him again. Like, okay, Junior's not there. You know, Junior. He was here for a little while and had a couple performances that were pretty good. But I'm happy to see Darnell coming back. I got more room in my heart for Darnell King than Junior Flemings. And also, you know, taking one massive attacker away from Phoenix is not a bad idea. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun game. And the meme wars going on Twitter all week. It's been a fun it's a fun build up to this match.
I got to tell you, it's just about as good as Louisville and Indy get when it's a Lipa FC game matchup coming up. This is why I wish we could play some of these teams more often, cuz there's kind of a natural fun time being had. I've enjoyed it. I'm literally mad that we're doing more state testing the next 2 days at work, and I have to have my phone locked in a desk because I can't look at any of it
during the day. Like, I'm just going to spend all lunch going back and looking at the banter memes.
And remember, folks, if we win the game, that means we rightfully should add a third star to this, to our jerseys for an obviously 2020 championship. And if we lose, then it doesn't mean anything because the teams are different and the rosters are different, and it's okay. So
still early in the season, who cares?
Exactly. We all agree that it means everything and it means nothing, and it's going to be a great night on ESPN2.
I mean, even if we lose, whatever, we're prioritizing the Open Cup.
Yeah.
And I won't take any follow-up questions to that.
Predictions for this match. I am going, I'm going to say it's going to end 2-2.
I hate picking a draw in a big game. I want a big game to have a winner. That being said, 2-2 wouldn't shock me. But I'm going 2-1 for the Rowdies.
Yes. Well, folks, thank you for listening.
Calling it now.
Well, thank you guys for listening, everybody, tonight. We love yous. I am going to give a we love you shout to Jake Nutting. He crawled so we could run. Thank you for establishing the relationships that you did while you were with us as a writer for the podcast and for the website. That opened up doors that allowed me and Matt to carry on the interview that we had this week. Thank you so much for all the work that you did with Unsubs. And then, of course, now that you are with the club officially, we definitely appreciate that. So that is my we love you for this week.
Don't forget, this weekend is an official Ralph's Mob Sons of Pirates match. Wear your gear, dressed to, I don't know, something that rhymes with dress that has something to do with pirates. I can't think of anything. I'm gonna pull some stuff out. I'll be out there. We'll have some pirate gear going. They probably won't let me bring a sword in. I'm going to try anyway. Tell them I have a press pass. It's legitimate. Jake, make sure I get in with a sword. I'm sending it out to everybody this week. It's a giant game this week. I mean, this is like, I was reading the USL like weekend preview, and they were like, look, when the schedules came out, this was being circled as probably the biggest game of the season. At least in the season to that point. But now with the record, you've got 2-3-0 teams, two 2-0 teams that have scored 3 goals in each game, haven't conceded a goal yet. This is one of, if not the biggest game in recent USL history. And we're right here in the middle of it. It's happening in our stadium. I'm going to be there on the hill, admiring other people's drunk shakes, because I'm still not bringing myself to the point of drinking one yet. I'm excited, man. This is going to be fun. This is going to be a fun night. It's an 8 p.m. start. It's on national television. I can record this one and come back and I'm so excited.
Here's my primer for the weekend. Soccer matches? I love soccer matches. Drinks all around.
Yes. And we love yous all around. To Jake, to our friends at Soccer Crush for doing the Lord's work and tweeting out updates of the game for people who could not see/hear it. To Dan for going on an island getaway. To everybody, man, just everyone. I'm psyched.
And as always, of course, we also thank Wolfface for providing the amazing introductory music that we use. Radio St. Pete Online for giving us this platform to do a live show every Wednesday night. And Shamrock Pub for our on-location midweek post-game shows. Can't wait to get there again this year. If you are listening, please share our stuff. Let the others in the Rowdies fan base make sure that they are aware that we do this show and we have interviews from time to time. Please subscribe. It helps us get those numbers pumped. Also make sure that you do not miss anything, like, you know, the special interviews every now and then, because that's happening a bit frequently at the moment. If you can, give us a rating, give us a review. It helps kind of helps the computer analytics get our name out there. If you want to take that support and make it a bit higher, Patreon. We do offer a Patreon subscription. You can do it for as little as $1 a month. No big deal, $12 a year. It just helps us pay the bills for running this little operation that we are. If you want to go to the higher levels, of course, we do offer it up. It's like a $10 max is the base layer that we have. And you can get your name announced as an executive producer for this show. Thank you to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, official scarf supplier to MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. And if you are tired of the same old uniforms, cookie cutter templates, and white t-shirts from Nike and Adidas, and you're looking for a unique, completely custom kit for your youth club, Sunday league squad, adult, or maybe even a pro team, Icarus FC can help you create the kit of your dreams at an affordable price. Let them help you design your new custom kit today at IcarusFC.com. Matt, we have an important game this weekend, sir. And I am And I am looking forward to seeing you there. I am looking forward to seeing all of you listening there. I am looking forward to the fact that we've got single game tickets available for this match, so it'll be a bit of a higher attendance. I am ready to claim that 2020 title officially if we win. If we win. Because if we lose, then it doesn't count. It doesn't matter. But if we win, then it matters.
Yeah.
Remember, guys?
I mean, if we lose, it's just it's basically a friendly. I mean, if we're being honest, if we lose. But if we win,
if we win. Remember, folks, it's a half an hour later kickoff. It does kick off at 8 o'clock for the national broadcast. Make sure you're telling folks that. Otherwise, Sons of Pirates, I'll be there. Let's go. And let's go, Rowdies.
Come see me on the hill. I'm bringing lots of stickers. I'm just going to give them away. And if you want to come and stand on the hill with us for a game, we've got some extra seats in our pod. Just hit me up and tell me why we should give you a ticket. And hella, we'll do it. Why not? Except for this week. This week's seat's already taken, so you lose. But the Rowdies won't. The Rowdies are going to win because we're going to be the champions of 2020, finally, in 2021. I'm just trying to like keep messing with Steven. Thinks he can play the outro music, and then I just keep talking. And, okay, I'll stop now. I won the prediction. Do one. The Rowdies are near.